¿Qué presen?
Yes, Braki.
I think we can start chat because we do have a quorum of members. So others will join while we are in the meeting.
Thank you. After all, it's past 9 now. The allocated time of 9:30 is past. So I think we're in order. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this very important meeting. Why am I saying it's an important meeting? Where we're
Recording
going
in
to get
progress.
performance report to us as an organ who's doing oversight. It's a critical period. So we believe that we'll be briefed accordingly and we'll be able to engage on the performance of the third quarter by both the department and our agencies. Today is a very busy day. We're having a meeting which is physical. So I would like to request that we be businesslike. So you are warmly welcome, my minister and deputy minister, my colleagues, our officials, all of you are warmly welcome. I'm inviting your constructive ideas today into today's meeting to be able to build this department together. So the meeting is officially opened. We'll now zoom to the next item, which is roll call and apologies. And also before we zoom to the second item, just to inform you that pray for my son and his team that are going to Europe to represent South Africa. He's still under 35, he's still a young lion, has been there for some years because he's highly interested into this sporting activity. So that's the announcement I can make before you. When I'm saying I'm requesting prayers, any support of some kind, you are welcome. But more importantly, prayers, because moving from one country to another, it needs God's protection. And even while they are there, still God's protection is hiding them. So we'll resume to item 2, which is roll call and apologies. I will rely on you, Braking. Do we have any apology?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Minister and Deputy Minister. Chairperson, the apologies that I have is from Mr. Kruger, who indicated that he got an 8 o'clock flight, going to Cape Town. So he might join as soon as he lands. So those are the apologies that I received. However, in the platform, I've seen that there's you, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Mieni, Honorable De Villiers, Honorable Tromelang, Honorable Lubengo, Honorable Hendricks, and Honorable Mabiga. So those, and Honorable April. So those are the members that I've seen and admitted. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks. Apology noted. Let's proceed. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the agenda from the colleagues? Honorable
the
members?
National mover. The national mover.
Thank
moves.
You. Thank you, Honorable April. Honorable April has moved for the adoption of the agenda. Any seconder, honorable members?
Chair, I second. Good morning. Greetings, I second.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs. Can we now move to the very important item? We are going to be led by our Honorable Minister, Honorable Stella, can you lead us, dear, on this item?
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, and good morning to all the members of the Portfolio Committee and any other person that has joined us. Of course, also greetings to the DM and the officials of the department. Chairperson, we're here to make a presentation on the performance of the portfolio, starting with the department to the two agencies that we are responsible for. I want to be upfront, Chairperson, to say we have not delivered as per commitment, as the department, as we account for 47% of the targets that we've set that we have achieved. And of course, the areas that we could not be able to deliver 100% on talks to the linking of the small businesses to global market opportunities. And again, to infrastructure that was meant for SMMEs and cooperatives that needed to be refurbished or built. And again, the number of cooperatives that we needed to have supported both financially and non-financially, including the five municipalities that we were to assist to deal with the red tape as part of our red tape reduction awareness program. I'm just highlighting some of the areas on the chair in relation to the department's non-achievement of certain targets and the DG, as they are responsible for the implementation of all this work. They will then get into details of what has happened and therefore what are the catch-up plans. Same applies going to CEDA, which we've seen great improvement from the previous quarter. And the areas where they could not deliver accordingly are areas that are talked to the lack of funds or the shortages of funds. And in CIFA, we have not done well to an extent that there's specific programs that have not really performed, but there are those that have done very well to an extent that at least it's 26% that we have not achieved in relation to the commitments that we have made. Again, the CEOs are here to then elaborate to say why we have not and what we have put in place to ensure that all these targets are met within the required times. Chairperson and honorable members, today is a Wednesday and we will be appearing to the cabinet, to the SAID cabinet committee meeting, which unfortunately we cannot apologize to because we have a presentation to make in relation to the work that the committee has been really supporting and asking us to fast track. We're presenting the funding policy of SMMEs and cooperatives. And therefore, if we are not there, it means we will not have that presented to cabinet. Therefore, we're going to request to be released earlier at 10 o'clock as the cabinet committee starts at 10. And we are not sure if we won't be the first presenter. Thank you, Chairperson. And I will take it back to you. And of course, with your permission, we can then invite the DG to proceed from where I left off. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Honorable Minister. It is well understood. We appreciate that you are trying to stress yourself. And at the same time, the issue of the funding policy is also critical to be able to unlock certain stumbling blocks or bottlenecks into this department. So really appreciate your presence. As long as the DG and CEOs of those agencies will be able to take us through, what I will be requesting is to make sure that we try to speak to our presentation because time is not smiling with us today. We've got a three-line session today in Parliament, which is physical. So to be able to catch up with time, I'll request that we be business like all of us. But thanks for the political overview. Ours is to guide you is to indicate where we're not happy, and also to assist by coming up with suggestions on how best can we deal with this. The worrying factor, Honorable Minister, while you're still here, is the one of the five municipalities indeed, because failing to deal with the red tape, we're not getting anywhere. But we believe on our capability as well as the DM and the department that whatever we're requesting from our good selves as the portfolio committee, we will be assisted, we'll achieve it. So let's allow them to present so that we can be able to engage with their presentation. DG, over to you. Thank you. So you may be released, and then if time allows you to come back, we'll hear from you. But our target is to make sure that at least by 12 we are done, so that honorable members can be able to prepare themselves to go to Parliament. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable chair, honorable members, honorable minister and DM. Thank you for the opportunity. I will also try to be as business as you have requested, Chair, so that we don't waste time. I think the minister has, I'm not going to repeat this. This year we're just showing what we'll be covering in our presentation, talking to the requirements of PFMA, treasury regulations, but also indicating that we'll be talking to critically three areas. The performance, and then we'll also touch on the financial report as well as the SR report. In terms of governance and compliance, we are on track in terms of the key structures within the department that are assisting us to make sure that we deliver as expected, but also ensuring that the governance processes or governance committees are in place, which are critical for the department. To ensure that the finances that we're handling them accordingly. Chair, this is just an outline in terms of what we've done to comply with all the relevant requirements in terms of the National Assembly, NCOP, PFMA, National Treasury Framework for Annual Planning. We're able to meet all those targets in terms of submission of our performance reports and as well as the assessment of the by DPME, of especially the assessment of the PF of the APP for 23-24, which we had to submit to them before we even finalized. I think Minister touched on this, that we are here. We're not proud of this performance, Chair, but we'll also indicate what we're going to do to improve it. We are on track, Chair, to perform even better than last year in terms of the annual performance. I'm sure other members will remember that we achieved 60.9% at the end of 21-22 financial year. This year we are on track to exceed that target given the interventions that have been put in place, but this quarter we were not really doing that well. So, as a department, we're still doing well in terms of payment of valid creditors. We try and lead by example here because we cannot chase other departments and entities to pay SMMEs on time, so we try and do our level best. So far, we've succeeded to pay SMMEs on average within 9 days. In terms of expenditure, there was an over expenditure, but it doesn't mean that we incurred unauthorized expenditure. It's because we had to also incur some expenditure that we had left behind in the previous quarter, but the CFO will expand when we go to the financial report. We have also done well in terms of engaging with the public, because that's one of the criticisms that we've received. Even the portfolio committee has raised some concerns around us being visible out there. So we are trying our level best. We had around about 34 public engagements, even though we had a target of 15, where we go together with the entities as well as the municipalities, because when we engage most of the time, some of the issues that come up, things that are supposed to be delivered by the minister. So we try and make sure that we go together with them so that we do provide practical solutions to small businesses. Then in terms of the products, we had 54, and one of the biggest areas for this quarter chair was the launch of a store in the Main Lane Mall, which focuses on local produced products that are produced by SMMEs, and we're trying our level best using our social media platforms to make sure that we market this, because this SMME in particular is assisting us in achieving what we are trying to achieve as a department. So there's an alignment in terms of what they are doing and what we are doing. So we always encourage people to go and visit the store so that they see the products that are produced locally by small businesses. SheTradesZA, we were able to link or to support 832. And that, just to indicate further here, the work that is also done by SEDA is quite critical, because they assist these SMMEs to have the capacity they need to explore these international platforms or international markets. We're also able to support over 5,000 in terms of TREP, which is financial support and non-financial support. And then under youth-owned, we're able to support over 3,000 startup youth businesses. Then the competitive SMEs and cooperatives, we exceeded the target. We were able to support over 11,000 competitive businesses. We also had further consultations, Chair, the business amendment bill, because it's critical for us to bring a bill that has been consulted. We know that the PC will also do its own consultations, but for us as well, we need to be able to bring something that has been consulted even to cabinet before they can consider it and approve it for further public consultation. So we are proceeding with this target, Chair, and we, as committed last week, we are pushing that we exceed even what we have put in our plans so that it gets to the portfolio committee as soon as possible. SME and cooperatives funding policy, we're doing quite well in terms of this target. The DG's cluster did approve it to be presented to cabinet, which was done, I think it was on the 14th of December. And then now today it's going to the cabinet committee for recommendation for it to go to cabinet. And then we are, Chair, moving ahead with the implementation now of the National Integrated Small Enterprise Development Strategic Framework or Master Plan, because we don't want this document to be one of those that is achieved and then put on the shelf. So we put an implementation plan, and we are monitoring this to make sure that it becomes a reality or it becomes more practical. We've even, Chair, last month, we had an engagement with some provinces where we were taking them through again this master plan, because we want them to also run with it. It should not be our document only as national. Chair, there are quite a number of other activities that we are doing which are not covered in the APP. So normally we don't show this to the portfolio committee, but we thought we should just bring this. They are part of the operational plans of the department, just to show what else we are doing besides what we present, the 23 targets that we have. We have supported so far during this quarter 3,562 informal and micro enterprises to the value of 7.4 million. This is one of the most effective interventions where we provide these informal and micro businesses with equipment that they need to boost their productivity, but also to do their businesses better. So we provide both non-financial support as well as financial support. So it's a very practical program that is having immediate benefits for the small businesses. We're also finalizing the incubation and business development services policy, because here it's critical that we coordinate the system. There are quite a number of incubators. In fact, there are more incubators that have been set up by the private sector than what government has established through SEDA in particular. We know that DTICD also have done some incubators, but as government, we are leading as DSBD in the incubation policy, incubation space, as well as business development services. It's critical that we also come up with standards, because anyone, as we speak, can become a business advisor. So it's important for us to have some sort of standards. People have been coming to us complaining about the quality of the business development services that are rendered in the market, because some of the business plans that are packaged, you cannot even take them to any DFI for them to approve it. So this policy is very, very critical. We've presented it to the minister now, so we are going ahead to go out and consult so that we also get this buy-in, and also allow SEDA to assume this role of coordinating the whole ecosystem when it comes to incubation services in particular. National Small Enterprise Bill, which the Portfolio Committee has been raising an issue about, has been submitted to the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor, so we are working with them and also taking it to the SEAS, because we also have to combine the SEAS that was issued for the Ombuds Bill with this one that talks to the incorporation of CIFA and CBDA into CIDA, so that we have one bill and one legal opinion as well as one SEAS, because it will not make sense to take two SEASs and two amendment bills through the cabinet as well as the portfolio committee. We are working, Chair, on amending the schedule on the definition of small businesses, working closely with other key stakeholders like SARS, Department of Labor, Agriculture, as well as other government departments, because across the state, there has been an issue that has been raised about the thresholds as well as us not updating the schedule timely to cater for inflation. So we are working on that, Chair, as part of the amendment of the schedule. We've also done some work, Chair, on the cannabis sector in particular. We know that the government has approved the master plan on cannabis, but SMMEs or people who have been involved in the space have already raised some issues around the red tape that has been put there, and they're saying it doesn't help, you know, people who are thriving in the sector. So we are working here and implementing a pilot focusing on SMMEs because we want them to really take advantage of this new sector, especially those that are based some areas around Midlands and also in some areas in the Eastern Cape. So we've partnered here with CSIR and we've selected a few SMMEs to pilot this work and see what kind of support, so that support that we provide is support that is responsive to the needs of the SMMEs. Here, we're also working, Chair, with the Department of Tourism on the Hospitality Sector Support Program. We know that this is an area that is driven by tourism, but we have an MOU with this department and we're working closely with them on in the space, because we know that most people who are involved in the hospitality sector in particular are small businesses. So there is work that we are collaborating with this department. Chair, we are almost done with the strategy on the mainstreaming of vulnerable groups. As a department, we do have some commitments. In fact, government as a whole, we have a commitment to make sure that our interventions, 40% of them, they go to women-owned enterprises, 30% to youth, and then 7% to persons with disabilities. But there is no strategy that has been existing. So we've come up with a strategy. We're consulting even a week before last, where we engaged with other stakeholders, Department of Women, with the Department of Public Enterprises, also represented in that engagement, because we want to make sure that this strategy, even though it comes from DSBD, other government departments can also adopt and run with it and make sure that the targets that are there, we proactively meet them instead of us just meeting them by chance, Chair. We're also participating in these presidential summits because we also have commitments there that we have to deliver on. We're also part of the BRICS and as well as the other structures that are talking to the BRICS work. Chair, these are the targets where we are explaining where we failed to meet the targets. The vacancy rate, Chair, you remember that we got our structure approved in September. And then we, obviously, when the structure was approved, it had more positions and or more posts. So we had to increase then the vacancy rate. The vacancy rate, in fact, increased because of these new posts. We tried to push, we were pushing to reach our 10%. We believe that we can still, we are gonna be able to meet this target come end of this month. We've tried to recruit as much as quickly as possible, but there are also some terminations which really threw our plans off track a little bit. That's why we're sitting at 14.6% by the end of September. But during quarter four, we pushed to get as many people employed in the department. Women also in the SMS representation, we failed to meet this target. What we have also decided, Chair, because we were sitting at 50% most of the time, and sometimes we'll go up to, we'll not exceed 55%. So what we've decided is that we need to make sure that we get as many women employed in senior management positions, so that we are not, when a one person resigns or one male is employed at SMS level, then we fail to meet this target. So we've had these challenges in quarter three, where one female SMS member resigned, and then we failed to meet the target. So we came below 50%. Also, representation of persons with disabilities. No appointments were made from this sector. But as I indicated earlier, the strategy that we are finalizing chairs will assist us to be proactive in the space and make sure that even in our appointment, we are clear in terms of targets for persons with disabilities. Chair, the two targets, which is the ones that talk to the system. Here, I must confess, Chair, that one of the issues that we have is the capacity. We even lost the person who has been assisting us with ICT work or driving this target. They left now in January because we then entered into a partnership with CSIR. So we are on track with the first target there, which is phase four, system development, which talk to SMME Business Index, which assist in checking or in monitoring the health of the SMEs over a period of time, which is one of the areas that have been raised by the portfolio committee, that in terms of M&E in particular, how do we measure the performance of these businesses, that especially those that we've already invested in over a period of time, because it doesn't help us as government to come here and talk about 5,000 SMEs supported, but after a year or so, we don't know where those SMEs are. So this SME Business Index, it tracks the performance of this SMME over a period of time. So we are on track to deliver this in 2 weeks' time, which is the end of March or next week. We have to finalize this. We've already engaged with CSIR. They came through to present to the department, and we are certain that we are getting somewhere. The next one, Chair, the Small Enterprise Trading Scoring and Rating System, which is also a critical, Chair, for assisting SMEs to access finance, because as government, we always indicate we don't have enough resources to support all SMEs. Some of them will have to go to the private sector, go to the commercial banks, but if you don't have a credit scoring record, it becomes difficult for you to access those funds from the banks. So we are in that process, Chair. We'll only meet this target next year because of the delays around our contractual arrangements with CSIR and DSBD, but we are on track, Chair, to deliver on this and put this system in place, which we believe will also expand the reach in terms of us or our SMEs being able to have this credit scoring record and being able to access other financial support. Then on SMEs and cooperatives linked to global market, we fell short on this target. Out of 100, we were only able to link 32. We are in the process, Chair, as we're working for next year in particular, in getting more partnerships and getting more people that we can work with in supporting our SMEs to be linked to these global events and make sure that they also get to expose their products. So we did not meet this target during this quarter three, Chair. And then the infrastructure, I think Minister touched briefly on this one. We are supposed to finalize the construction or refurbishment of two. One of the areas that delayed us, even though it's not the whole reason why we did not meet the target, was some delays, especially there is a project in Midlands, in KZN, which we were pushing hard, but it had to be delayed because of this rain that were just going on and on. But what we've also done, Chair, to address this, is to get capacity. So the approval of the structure has enabled us to even get some quantity surveyors. What we were dependent on was officials from Department of Public Works who really were assisting us because we did not also want to be taken for a ride because we did not have this internal expertise when it comes to building construction work. So they were assisting us in checking whether, you know, the money that we are asked to pay is supposed to go to the right things. The projects done accordingly. So we are finalizing the process of getting these skills internally because we're still going to continue doing a lot of work under the infrastructure development. Chair, the incubation report. Here, this target is delayed because the incubation report or the evaluation of the incubation support was not finalized on time. So we're not able then to come up with these monitoring reports on the incubation support program. But we are pushing that we track these activities bi-weekly basis so that we push and finalize this study, because it's critical for our chair to just assess the impact of the incubation program that we have. We can go around establishing incubators, but the ones that we have are not delivering accordingly, we have to change tech. So we are working closely in finalizing this study, which will tell us what we need to improve if we have to improve our incubation program. And then cooperatives, which is always a sore point for us, but we believe that with the interventions that we are putting in place, especially for next year, we'll be able to do much, much better in supporting cooperatives. We're only able to support 28 out of 50 cooperatives, and we are working to make sure that we do improve in terms of getting cooperatives ready to take up the financial support. We do have some partnerships with the private sector here. Some of the people who are involved in the cooperative space to in assist us. But also CIFA has made some breakthroughs in terms of preparing cooperatives to access financial support. I'm sure they will talk to that when their time comes for the presentation. The CAFTAs, Chair, this target we always meet, and we are going to meet it come end of the financial year. We are doing work with various provinces to get as many crafters, which is mostly people who are based in rural areas, and it's mostly women-owned enterprises that are in the space. There were delays in terms of, because some provinces have complained that they don't have capacity, of which is something we are addressing with each province, because we've been working with them for quite some time, so it doesn't make sense for them to come and say they don't have capacity, but we are on track to achieve this by the end of this financial year. And then Chair, the red tape, this target we did not meet. There were just some delays internally in terms of procurement processes, because we always have to make sure that, for example, we check each and every area whether they don't have government facilities, for example, where we can offer this support to municipalities. So there were some glitches there, but we'll also further expand, Chair. Later on, we then ensure that we meet this target. So the target of 20, which should be achieved by the end of this financial year, will be achieved, Chair, because we've already cashed up already on this one, which we delayed in quarter three. And then lastly, on the regulatory impediments, Chair, this is also linked to the SONA commitment, where the President committed that we'll also have to review all regulatory impediments. So we've done the work around this research. We've identified 29 pieces of legislation as presented last week during the presentation on red tape. So we are now in the process of identifying exactly what are the issues that needs to be identified and amended, and we have to make recommendations and take this to cabinet. But Minister has also requested that instead of taking all 29 pieces of legislation, let's focus maybe on 5 that we can quickly deal with and deliver on. So we are on track, Chair. We are going to achieve this target by the end of next week. There is work that is taking place here. Chair, quickly with your permission, if I can request the CFO to just take the portfolio committee through the financial report, and then I'll come finalize on the HR report so that we also save time for the PC. Thanks, Chair.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members, our Minister, and Honourable Deputy Minister, DG, CEOs and colleagues. Chair, with your permission, if I could be allowed to switch off my video so I can preserve the bench with Chair Leboga. In terms of our performance for the third quarter, we have planned to spend 696.3 million, and we ended up spending 705.3 million, which led to an overshoot of 1.3% from a cash flow perspective, committee members. Committee members would recall that in the first two quarters we had underperformed, so we had the cash in our books. We had about 24 million. So the just under 9 million that we overshot on was recovering from the first two quarters, as the DG has indicated. The same performance in terms of the four programs that we have at the department, being administration, we had planned to spend 28.3 million for the program. We ended up spending 25.8, resulting in underperformance of 2.5 million. Sector and market development, we had planned to spend 14.5. We overshot by spending 31.7 million. And committee members would recall in the first two quarters, this is a program that has been underperforming from a cash flow perspective as well. In terms of development finance, we had planned to spend 363.4 million. We ended up spending 390.4 million, overshooting by 27 million from a cash flow perspective. And the last program being enterprise development, we had planned to spend 290.2 million. We ended up spending 257.4 million, resulting in an underperformance of 32.8 million. And the reasons for the performance in each program: program one having underperformed by 2.5 million. Mainly because of the vacancies at 2.6 million, machinery equipment also underspending by 97,000. However, we had goods and services in the program overshooting by 203,000 due to higher payments for communications and travel than anticipated. In terms of program two, where we overshot by 17.2 million, this was mainly due to transfers or specifically the product market that where DG was talking about referencing in terms of infrastructure, shared economic infrastructure program that we ran, where in claims that we had projected to pay for in quarter two and four were received and processed in quarter three, as well as machinery and equipment of 1.1 million due to equipment that we had projected to pay for in quarter two being paid for in the third quarter. Compensation of employees, on the other hand, underperformed by just under a million due to vacancies, while goods and services also contributed 2.6 million, mainly due to Microsoft requesting us, because we had paid this payment earlier in the financial year, requesting us that they needed to be paid in dollars, and they had reversed the transaction that we needed to process in dollars, as well as the travel and subsistence claims that we were still to receive from CEDA for SMEs that get exposed to global markets through the collaboration effort that we have with CEDA. In terms of program three, we had overshot by 27 million as indicated earlier. And in the main, it was more aligned to, it's more the misalignment of cash flow, as well as making sure that the transfers amounts aligning the, what our committee members would recall that we used to have a program called Gazelles that had about 29.8 million that was discontinued. But we reprioritized the money towards the blended finance program that is now being implemented by CIFA. So this was just to try and get the allocations moved from the one line item into the other. Craft CSP overshot by 1.2 million due to payments that we would have made in Q2, but only received claims and that were processed in quarter three. We also have an issue, basically this has been persistent throughout the financial year, that our cooperative development support program underspent by 5.2 million due to delays in getting the projects ready for funding. Compensation of employees overshot by 2.6 million due to the cost of living adjustments and pay progressions that were made in the quarter, as well as machinery and equipment that underspent by just under 79,000. Program four, for this quarter, the expenditure that we had anticipated to spend we spent less by 32.8 million due to that misalignment that I spoke to between the blended finance and reserve program, as well as the compensation of employees underperforming by 1.6 million, and the IMF program, whose claims, as I indicated earlier, were projected in quarter three, but we only paid them in quarter two, as well as travel and subsistence that overshot by 1.6 million. In terms of the performance at a high economic classification level, COE, we understand by 2.6 million. Goods and services, we understand by 5.1 million. Whilst we overshot, as indicated earlier, in transfers and subsidies by 15.7 million and capital assets, we also overshot by just under 900,000 chairperson. And the reasons for the performance or underperformance as stated by the DG earlier, we still have vacancies, and the 2.6 is basically as a result of the 14.6 vacancy rate that we currently have. Goods and services for the quarter, I have already indicated that we underperformed overall, but the overall underperformance is 5.1 million. And because of the underperformance in the IMED program, as claims that were projected to be processed in Q3 were processed in Q2. And I've already alluded to the issue around the Microsoft payment that needed to be reversed for us to be able to pay, that we had paid it in rand and needed to pay in dollars, and outstanding invoices from the Office of the State Law, State Attorney, and the underperformance of advertising material that we have not yet procured or had not yet procured in quarter three. In terms of transfers and subsidies, from a cash flow perspective, we overshot by 15.7 million, and the overperforming programs was the 90 product market, where in the infrastructure program is funded. We overperformed by 19.7 million, and because we paid in quarter three claims that needed to have been paid in quarter two, as well as those that had been projected for quarter four, were brought forward. And I've already indicated CDSP underperforming by 5.3 million. The craft CSP underperforming because we paid for claims that we should have been, that we should have paid for in quarter three in quarter paid for in quarter two in quarter three. My apologies for that change. Machinery and equipment. We also overperformed in that space by 913,000 due to computer equipment that we had planned to pay for in quarter two, but we paid for it in quarter three. That would cover the financial report. Moving on to the audit findings for the year 21-22. We are currently tracking 10, and to date, at a summary level, we have covered 90% of those. The only one that would still be outstanding is us getting the state attorney's assessment on the contingent liabilities that our legal services is interacting with the state attorney's office on, and we're hoping that by the time we conclude on the 22-23 financial year statement, we would have received the assessment from the Office of the State Attorney. Jana Wahat, who you did you?
Thanks, CFO. I'll be very brief, Chair, so that we also save time, as you indicated that you don't have a lot of time and not give enough time for questions. Chair, this is just a depiction of what we've spoken about earlier in terms of the vacancy rate, that we are sitting at 14.6%. You see there's been a fluctuation in terms of the vacancy rate, but we are pushing to make sure that we do get as many appointments done as soon as possible, Chair, so that we do get below 10% come end of the financial year. It will also shoot up, Chair, during the first quarter, because we are getting over 40 new positions, given the money that has been allocated by Treasury, as it indicated that even though they approved the structure with additional over 150 positions, they did not give us money for all 150. they are giving us money incrementally every year. So we did get a bigger allocation so that we can fill more positions next year. So we're working on that. Chair, this is also the depiction of what I spoke about in terms of women in SMS position. There was a termination. We're sitting at, you see in quarters, previous quarters, we were a little bit below. We got some appointments, but the resignation of some members also of senior managers resulted in us going below. So we are pushing Chair to do better come next year so that we do have a specific strategy where even certain positions are set aside for women SMS members. Persons with disabilities, we believe here, Chair, our strategy also would also assist us to do better in this target. We've not been doing that well, that bad, but also not doing that well because we've been sitting on average around 3.8, 3.7. Now we have to make sure that we reach that 7% by the end of the sixth administration, which is we only have next year. So our strategies have to be very pointed and make sure that we do deliver for persons with disabilities, Chair. Chair, the next slides, then they repeat what I've already spoken about. I did speak about our achievements, which I've highlighted in one slide, and also spoke to the underachievements, Chair. So with your permission, I'll request that I do not repeat everything that I've already said in talking to the achievements as well as underachievements, and just go straight to the last slide and recommend that the portfolio committee chair adopts this quarter three performance report of 2022-23 financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Only disappointed by the performance, the appointment of women and people with a disability, but we trust that what you're promising us will really happen. We'll appreciate that, DG. And then let's move to the next presentation. Who's next, King? Is it Sida or Sifa? According to our program. Is Sifa. Let's invite the CEO from Sifa. I don't know whether the chairperson is in. They may usher the agency.
Yes. Good morning, Chair and honorable members. The chair is in. I see her name on the list. I'm not sure that she can hear us, but in the meantime, I'll try to share the screen. If Ebra King, you can give me the permission to share.
Yes,
Ebra.
Yes,
I got it now, Chair. Just trying to sort out the viewing thing here. It's thank you. My goodness. Sorry, Chair. This thing is playing games with me now. I'm trying to hide all these things and make. Okay. I suspect the chair of the board is struggling with connections, but she is online, and let me apologize for her. But in the interest of time, with your permissions, Chair, let me take the committee through the presentation quickly.
Yeah, and proceed. She will engage during discussion.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm saying the chairperson will participate during our deliberations. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. We have here the presentation outline, which looks really at the overview of the corporate performance. Then we'll move into the balance scorecard. I'll rush through that one, Chair and Honourable Members, because it's quite a long one. And the loan book performance,
we will look at the development impact of our funding and then move into post-investment monitoring, which is one of our key activities to protect the book. And then we'll look briefly at the financial performance of the organization at a high level. Then we'll zoom into the human capital management, marketing communications, organizational governance, and also 10 is the interventions that we're putting in place to improve performance where there are gaps, as the minister indicated earlier. And then just a brief list of applications received, approved, and rejected, and reasons for rejection. Chairperson and honorable members, the performance for the third quarter highlighted the following. The total loan book out there for CIFA as in December was 4.1 billion rands, and the total approval for the quarter, we managed to actually approve 249 million, and I'll come back to the reasons why we actually slowed down in that quarter on the approvals. However, on disbursements, which is now the key measure that looks at the money that was deployed into the economy, we were able to disburse 550 million rands, which is equal to 91% of the quarterly target of 601 million. Chair, the SMEs really faced a very, very challenging time in the past quarter, and even the current quarter, mainly due to load shedding and also the increasing inflationary pressures. And this really impacted on the ability of these SMEs to pay CIFA and also for us to achieve our targets. We've seen some of our clients, Chairperson and honorable members, and seeing because of load shedding, we find that a client that usually operates for 8.5 hours, they are forced to operate to between 2 and 4 hours a day, which really kills their productivity levels and also their revenue generation capacity, which by extension results in them being unable to service CIFA's debt. And we saw our collections rate, for example, which I'll speak to Chairperson and members, dropping to 35%, which means for every rent that we wanted to collect, only 35 cents was collected. That then, Chairperson, squeezed our cash flows and entity because we had very little money now to approve and disperse into the economy. And we needed, therefore, to align the approvals to what was coming in so that we have enough money to avoid the trading, which then necessitated that we slow down those approvals in quarter three. Hence, you see that it's 7%. However, the number of SMEs that were financed during the period were 23,842 SMEs, which facilitated about 28,153 jobs. The disbursements share that went to Black-owned enterprises were 492 million, and disbursements that went into township-based enterprises were 119 million, and disbursements that went to women-owned enterprises were about 231 million. With the disbursements to youth-owned enterprises being 132 million. This thing now is frozen again, breaking my screen. Let's see. My goodness. So let me get out and try to come in because the screen is frozen. On the very first screen, actually. Apologies, sir. Let me go out and come in again. This is nonsense now, right? All right, Let me move quickly once it allows me to proceed. Chair, as I said, the approvals were less this quarter at 249 million against the target of 670. And year to date, the target was 1 billion against the target of 1.8 billion, which is 8% of the year to date target. However, Chair, as I said, with the disbursements, which is the money that was actually released into the economy, we achieved 91%. We dispersed 550 million against a target of 600 million. Year-to-date target, we have already exceeded the year's target. The target was 1.6 billion. We already had 1.7 billion for the year-to-date, which gave us that 112% performance, and we're comfortable that we'll exceed the annual target with regards to the disbursement of funds into the economy. The number of SMEs, Chair, the target was 25,000. We managed to do 24,000, which gave us the 94% performance for the quarter. However, for the year to date, the target was 68,000 and we did 38,000, which left us as 56%, but we actually managed to catch up in quarter four. The number of jobs facilitated and sustained, the target was 31,000. We managed to do 28,000, which is 89% of the target. And year to date, the target was 84,000 and we're sitting at 64,000, hence the 76% achievement. But we will be closer to those targets. I'll speak to that later, Chair. Disbursement to Black-owned enterprises, the target was 420 million. We managed to disperse 491 million, hence the 117% overachievement. For the year to date, the target was 1.1 billion. We are at 1.5 billion. Hence the 136% overachievement. And that's one of the areas that we're comfortable to share that we will be able to really achieve. Let's remove this thing, Chair. There's something that is sitting on top. My goodness. Well, the disbursement to women owned enterprises, Chairperson, the target there was the 240 million. We managed to do 231 million, which left us at 76% against, rather 96% against the target. Year to date, the target was 641, and we are at 636, at 99% of the target. We're certain that by quarter four, we'll get to that 1% to bring us up to speed. Disbursements to youth-owned enterprises, the target was 180 million. We did 132, which is 73%. Year to date, the target was 480 million or 481, and we are at 416 million, which is at 87% of the target. I think there's something wrong with my presentation here. My goodness. Chair, I don't know that this is visible because it seems like if I go to slide, Chair, it gives me problems, it freezes. If I may try to work on it on the screen, the members will indicate if it's not visible or good enough. Looking at customer perspective again, Chairperson, disbursements to enterprises owned by people with disabilities, that's one area where we're still struggling with the reasons that we stated before. And we've started engaging the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities to review how that target is set. I did indicate, Chair, even in the previous quarters, that the way that the target was set was not scientific, because what it does, it takes from Stats SA the percentage of people with disabilities in the country, and it says 7%, and then it says CIFA, 7% of your loans must go to those people, which is a wrong a method, because it assumes that every person who's disabled is in business. Now, in our engagements with the DG of our department and the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, that let us look at how many people from the 60 million able-bodied South Africans who are in business, and then extrapolate that and say how many people who are disabled are in business. And then on the basis of that, then we can say this is the right target to set, because not everybody who's disabled is in business. But we say it's a discussion that we're dealing with the department outside. And then looking at disbursements to township-based enterprises, we had a target of 150 million. and we are at 118 million, which is 79%. But year to date, we've already shoot the lights there because already sitting at 104% of our performance with a target of 401 million. We're already at 416 million on investments. And for enterprises located in rural towns, we are actually also exceeding that target. The target was for the quarter 85, but year to date, we are already at 102% of our performance. And we anticipate that, oh my goodness, sorry. Thank you, Chair. I must apologize for this. I was talking about the enterprises and villages. The target was 240 million. We achieved 203 million or 204 million. A year to date, the target was 641 million. We had already at 655 million, hence the 102 overperformance there. Number of leads generated, the target was 30, we did 40, and annually already shooting the lights there because the target was 80, we're sitting at 470. The rest of the three targets are annual measurements, which we'll do them after quarter four. Looking quickly at the financial, the cost income ratio target was 87%. We're able to contain it at 62%. Year to date, same, we're already at 140%. Really, that is one of the key indicators, Chair and honorable members, of how you manage the sustainability of the institution. The moment your ratio of income to cost exceeds 100, you are in trouble. And at those levels, Chair, we still believe we are at a safer space at 62%. Because it means for every rent that we've received as an entity, we spent what we call 62 cents against our expenses, which is quite the healthy state of affairs in that regard. Then rent value of additional capital raise. This is the money, Chair, that we raise for projects that we manage for other government departments. We were targeting that the tourism department for the fund that we manage for them will come through in quarter three, but it came through in quarter four. And I think we'll level out that one in our quarter four once that money reflects, even though we're still stuck with the interdict from the, what do you call these people, that organization, AfriForum, yes, that actually interdicted the Department of Tourism from proceeding with that fund, but it's still held by CIFA. Once that court process gets resolved between tourism and the AfriForum people, then we will be able to resume that work. These ones, Chair, I wouldn't like to bother the committee because it speaks to the properties, the cost-to-income ratio of the properties division and the lettable area and the rental collections rate. I'll speak to those ones at a high level later. Looking at accumulated impairments provision, the target there, Chair, was 38% and we are at 43%. I'll speak to this one, Chair, because it shows that now our clients are struggling to pay us once that percentage increases from 38 to 43, mainly due to this, what we call the load shedding that these clients are facing, as I stated earlier on. The portfolio at risk, the target was 42%. We are also behind now because we're sitting at 43%. Chair, that one is also another indicator that we use. We look at all the loans that are 60 plus one day behind. You don't want that rate actually to be at that level. You're comfortable at 25 to 30, but because of the challenges we've said earlier on that SMEs are facing, we've seen the number of SMEs who are defaulting at 60 plus one days behind, increasing from 42 to 43. The collections rate, the all-in collections rate now, the target was 87. We only manage 79%. I'll stick to that because certain areas, particularly direct lending, we're really struggling there, Chair. And the turnaround times, the target there for direct lending was 40 days. It degenerated to 63 days. The reason there, Chair, is that we lost about four people from our legal division in this quarter. And as a result, this is a division, Chair, that drafts the funding agreements for all the applicants. The moment you have no numbers at the legal division, then it delays actually the conclusion of the what called the applications by the applicants. But we managed to bring in three people in quarter four, and we want to bring in two more people so that we can debottleneck the legal division. The turnaround times for wholesale lending division, the target was 55 days. We managed to contain that one in 29 days because there those are existing in the main contracts. Unlike direct lending, where in the majority is new contracts that must be actually signed with the applicants. And then the annual measurement of skip chairperson, and then look at the number of client funding partner interventions. There we were hoping that we'll appoint about 46 of those, but we managed to procure 6. That is mainly appointing additional mentors to work with us, but there were some delays in the procurement cycle there, but we were able to actually improve that in quarter four. The number of CIFA clients improving their turnover by 5%. There we were really targeting 7, and we were able to do 5 of them, which took us to 71%. And then the blended first default rate, that chairperson, we're looking in the main at the clients who default on the first installment after being given the loan. The target was 4.5%, but we managed to contain it to 4%, even though our clients are really struggling in that regard. And finally, looking at the number of applications, we targeted 2, we did 3. And the issue of biannual business condition survey is an annual one, and the rest also is an annual measurement that we'll do in quarter four. Just to speak to underperformance in even approval, as I said, that approval underperformance was mainly driven by our SME wholesale and microfinance, namely the commercial viability also of some of these clients that applied, and some of them were non-aligned to CIFA's mandate. KCG, we saw a delay there. But I'm certain that by year end, they would have really reached or exceeded their targets. Here, Chair members, we're working with the commercial banks because we provide credit guarantees to commercial banks to extend credit to SMEs. But the process that it takes for them to vet CIFA, it can take anything between 6 and 8 months. And it really tells the speed at which KCG get those approvals sorted, but we know in the end that they will approve, and we're seeing some actually coming on board. And also the other challenge we face was that some of the institutions that apply for funding that operate above the NCR threshold of 250,000, they were not prepared to apply for NCR license because they're saying it was just cumbersome for them and unnecessary because they are not lending within the NCR space. But we engage them that, listen, for our own interest, let's actually apply for that. And some of them are slowly accepting that, reluctantly so. And direct lending, I did state, Chairperson, that we had a challenge of cash flow there in direct lending, and we had to slow down the approvals because you need to look at your cash coming in and the cash going out. Once the cash going out starts exceeding the cash that is coming in, you need to slow down and actually try to balance your cash inflows with your cash outflows. And with those challenges in direct lending, we had to do that slow down a bit. because, as I said, Chair, when the collections drop to 35%, whereas your target is in your 80s, it's not a healthy state of affairs. And we understand that the SMEs are struggling. And also there was a request that maybe we need to give some of them payment breaks so that they actually are able to navigate the load shedding. But if you're already sitting at 35% collections, you give these clients payment breaks, you are going towards zero, which is not sustainable for the entity. And we took a position, Chair, that says we will actually look at clients on a case-by-case basis. Those that we can see in their bank accounts that there's money coming in, we'll insist that they continue paying. And those that we see that the load shedding has really destroyed their productivity, then we'll give them that break. But the key issue that is important for us at CIFA now is to get this power or alternative power backup for our clients so that they can start producing and operating not just 4 hours a day, but they must be back to 8.5 hours of production so that they're able to generate those revenues. As you said, the rate of collection is a reflection of those difficulties for our SMEs as they try to meet their monthly obligations. But with load shedding, Chair, it's just another pandemic, if one can say. This really sticks with over group, as I mentioned, Chair. Yes, to date, we've already approved 1.04 billion against that target of 1.7, which we want to catch up once the cash flows also improve. This really is an explanation, Chair, of the notes that I just spoke to now. looking at disbursement, Chair, the target the year to date was 1.6 billion, and we're already at 1.8 billion, which puts us ahead to be at 112% of the year to date target, which will make us really able to achieve our annual target, rather exceed our annual target come the end of the financial year. The total loan book disbursements for Q3 were 550, as I said, against that 601. The drivers really were direct lending disbursements of 215 million, wholesale loan program disbursed 385 million, the wholesale SME disbursed 138.5 million, which is they exceeded their quarterly target by 103%. Microfinance disbursed 101 million. And KCG taken up was 95 million, which is 108% of their target. The disbursements were driven in the main by direct lending at 79.7 million. TREP, which is the economic recovery program, at 118.5 million. Because Chair, once we actually were challenged with cash flows for direct lending, we said to the team, focus on TREP because there's cash available there. Hence, we saw that increase of 113.5 million under TREP. And quickly speaking to the developmental impact, the number of SMEs that were financed were actually 23,842 against a target of 25,449, which is 94%. Which is a good improvement compared to the previous quarter where we only managed at 23%. And microfinance is one of our flagships. It drives really our impact at 97% or 98% of the all these numbers. This chair is one of our favorites, I must say, because it speaks to those rural women who are really directly involved in the coal face of the struggle of SMEs. And with our microfinance and our partners, we are able to impact at that level. And the microfinance actually gives us big developmental stats as a result of the involvement with the micro lenders and the people at that level. And the beauty about these people, Chair, is that they pay back CIFAS money better than these ones who apply for loans above $1 million. And we see a lot of honor at that level because of the group of women who will encourage each other to ensure that the money that they borrowed is paid back. I like your bigger SMEs that you have to go to lawyers and spend a lot of money to get them to pay CIFA. And jobs, looking at jobs, Chair, the target was 31,491. We managed to do 28,153, which left us at 89%, which is also an improvement from the previous quarter. We're at around 49%, which is a 85% improvement compared to the previous quarter. Chair, I won't spend much on this one because I spoke to those numbers in our detailed a balance scorecard, where we said the youth disbursements were 73% at 132 million. People with disabilities I spoke were 34% at 14.4 million. Disbursements to women were 96% at 231 million. Disbursements to Black-owned enterprises were at 491 million, or 492 million, which is 117% against the target. Rural and villages were at 85% at 204 million. And township-based enterprises were at 79% at 118.5 million. This chair looks at the geographic spread of the disbursements. The Gauteng chair is still leading at 3% because really of the size of the economy of Gauteng, because a big number of the SMEs of the country are basically based in Gauteng. And Gauteng then was followed by KZN and Limpopo that were on tie at 13%, and then the Western Cape at 11%. and Eastern Cape at 8%, with the Northwest at 7.5%, and Mpumalanga at 7%, and Northern Cape at 4%. In value terms, as I said, CIFA disbursements were down in Gauteng because of the size of the SMEs that are based there, and followed by Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal. The majority of SMEs supported in Limpopo, Northwest, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal were through our microfinance and informal sector programs, which speaks to the fact that I said most of those rural women actually are based in those provinces, where we still want to form partnership with intermediaries. There is the Free State and the Northern Cape Chairperson and Western Cape, because where we're getting big numbers in terms of the volumes now of SMEs funded in microfinance, it's where we have existing microfinance lending partners, like in the Eastern Cape, it was KwaZulu-Natal, in Limpopo, the Mpumalanga, and the Northwest province. So this is looking now at the portfolio of our book. The as I said earlier, the size of the book is sitting at 4.1 billion, and as of December 31st, 2022, and those funds, those included funds, chairperson, of about 247 million, with our repeat clients of 3,824. With 3,799 of those clients being from direct lending and 25 being from wholesale lending. Even though you see 25 from wholesale lending, because there we're working with intermediaries, but the end beneficiaries are bigger than your direct lending. The total portfolio made up of 1.4 billion was the wholesale lending at 36%, with 2.7 billion at direct lending with 64%. And the wholesale book declined in this quarter by 13%, which is 185 million, being payments in the main from the intermediaries. And the direct lending book increased by 157%, which was mainly driven by those disbursements that come from what we call, from our chat program. The portfolio risk, check quickly, this one is where I spoke about it earlier on, that we're looking at all the clients that are 60 days plus one behind in their repayments. And the whole portfolio risk was at 41% in quarter two, but it increased to 43% in quarter three, which is a reflection really of the struggles that our SMEs face. Out of that, only 29% was from wholesale. The driver of our clients' default is mainly under direct lending at 49%. The total collections, Chair, quickly, I won't dwell much on this one, but this shows us really the true picture of the struggles that SMEs face. If you look at the installments raised for the quarter, we raised installments of 187.2 million. And we collected, that is now for direct lending. For wholesale, it was 61 million. And the total installments raised were 248 million. But the collections against those debit orders were 170.5 million. Wholesale outperformed because there are these big intermediaries that will pay in advance, like the repayments. But our biggest challenge is under direct lending, where we raised 187.2 million, but the clients only paid 65.7 million, which is only 35.1 million. And it's a worrisome factor. What I was speaking to earlier on, that our clients are really, really struggling to pay us, because sitting at 35% is not a healthy one for us, and we want to improve that to 87%. Hence, then we had those cash flow challenges in November, December, because some of the debit orders were cancelled, some were bouncing, and when we looked at the bank accounts of the clients, we could see that they were really struggling with the. What we call their performance and revenue generation. I spoke to the cost income ratio that we said target was 87. We managed to settle it and limit it to 62%. The impairments, the target was 38%, but we are sitting 43%, which is what I mentioned earlier on, Chair. It's a challenge that is linked now to this inability of our clients to service their financial obligations. And we try very hard to contain those impairments, Chair. And then the percentage of growth in revenue, the target was 10%. We managed to really they get the 34%. The driver there really was the DGIC gave us our MTF allocation in Goratree of 148.7 million after we negotiated with them, because they were mischievously giving us our money monthly in areas. And we say, carry, we incur the cost really upfront. We need that money quarterly upfront, and then with the final agreed, which really improved for the operating cost. We're looking at the human capital figures for the entity. The total headcount at FIFA is at the end of that quarter was around, I'm trying to reduce the screen share so that it can be visible and included. The human capital management total headcount was 332 warm bodies. And being front end and services. The front end for us was 66% and services were 34%. Front end really is your direct lending people, the wholesale, the credit risk management, the properties, the post investment monitoring and workout. And then services would be our human capital management, our facilities people, finance and procurement, our strategy and legal services people, our enterprise risk, our compliance people, IT, company secretariat, marketing and communications, including internal audit. We think that the front end really still is heavier than your services functions. The gender profile, we're still leading in that regard. With regards to the to our target, we've got 58% of the staff complement being women and 42% being what we call male. The head office count versus regional offices, head office is 8%, regional is 32%. Reason being, your credit work, your legal work, your post-investment work is done in other, your strategy and all IT are done at head office level. We focus mainly in the regional front office, which is lending. The third part, Chairperson, which is worrying us, is that the number of people who are permanent is 51%, and the number of people who are on contracts, short-term contracts, about 49%. It's a worrisome effect. You don't want your staff to be in that situation because it increases the staff turnover. That's why we see people like one division legal, four people leaving in 1 month, because they don't have job security in these 2 year fixed-term contracts. And this really compromises chair and members, the institutional memory and the performance, because an average lawyer who comes in is safer. They need at least a good 4 to 6 months to understand the internal workings of the organization, unless you get an attorney who's from another development finance or a lending bank institution. But it's difficult for us to attract these people with a short-term contract of 24 months because of the measure. We are conscious of that. Racial profile, 300 of our 332 people are African, 11 of them are colored, Indian 6, and the white employees are 15. I spoke to this issue of human capital management, really, and there is an increasing need to fill critical vacancies in support of new products to ensure business continuity, especially in the front-end functions. The HR division has noted, actually, the following risk associated with the issuing of these fixed-term or short-term contracts in light of the pending measure. An increasing number of staff are on FTC in comparison to permanent employees, as I said. The talent retention is a significant threat to CIFA, as critical positions are being filled with these fixed-term contracts. And CIFA is faced with the risk of inability to retain employees in these critical positions due to the short-term nature of employment contracts. Labor turnover for management and executive level has increased to 5% across all jobs. Below management is 6%, which is a significant increase from last quarter where there was 0%. Management that left and 3% of below management, 3.3% staff turnover. To jump from that to 5% and 6% is worrisome, and it's a reflection of this short-term contract that don't provide job security for our people. But our division in HR continues to find ways to retain staff through extension of this fixed-term contract and job enrichment. But we worry because the banks, including the ITC itself, having opened their own wholesale lending, they're probably going to be seeing some of our staff living there. Quickly, Chair, marketing communications, we conducted those stakeholder and management practice and media relations and brand management, and I won't dwell much on those ones. And finally, we see the looking at the board activities. The board held five meetings this quarter, and those were the approvals that the board actually made. The credit investment committee met once, and that was the only approval that was made by the committee. The nominations committee also met once, and they made those approvals. What the committee met twice and approved those listed activities. Risk committee met once and also made those three approvals. And the human capital and REMCO met once and made those two key approvals. The chair, as I conclude, the interventions that we are actually putting in place to enhance performance of the organization, the PIM department is actually capacitated. And also we've implemented a new collection strategy. We have actually established a project called Operation Badala, which is the Nguni term means the operations pay back the money. The headquarters department managers have been assigned to provincial offices to support the provinces with these collections. Even HOD in IT has been dragged into collections to support the provinces. There's a metric reporting structure implemented for which regional managers now are also responsible for collections, not just deal actually making. We're saying if you say the deal you presented committee that is a good deal, it gets approved, you must make sure that you manage it cradle to grave with regards to collections. The focus is on the high value loans. We're not chasing the smaller ones as a priority, but we do make the calls. But we're looking at all these bigger deals where people are just not paying us. And you find that most of these people will look at the credit bureau. You compare the lifestyle of the directors and the financial status of the company. We realize that the company is becoming poorer, the director is becoming richer, which indicates that they are siphoning money out of the company for their personal lifestyle. And those are the ones that we're targeting, Chairperson. It's not your small guy. It's your people that get these loans above 5 million. And we're also enforcing compliance, Chair, and we send breach letters constantly, which is not a usual one for CIFA. And after the notice period from the breach letter expires, the clients and the sureties on those loans, we send them to the credit bureau. And this has worked, Chair, because now we're seeing people who have not paid CIFA for a long time crawling out of the woods, coming to negotiate. And really, our intention here is to force them to come and engage us and make arrangements to pay back the money. And that strategy is beginning to show some results, even though it's still early days. But judging by the number of calls, it shows some positive. There was a delay, really. There is a bottleneck in the disbursement part. And we realized that the ops hub, which is the operations hub, that checks the compliance and the completeness of the application and finance, there were some duplications there. Then we took the operations hub from the lending division to finance so that all those checks and balances are done under one roof to speed up the disbursements. Also, we're reviewing the existing business processes to improve there, and we're capacitating that operations hub because there were only two people who were dealing with TREP applications. And these TREP applications are voluminous, quite many, and we needed more people to deal with those compliance issues. And we're busy now capacitating that division, even with interns within the limitations that we have. Client onboarding, we've actually established a front office now. That business unit is going to also assist in pre-screening these applications, ensure that once they get through the process, even before they go to committees, the outstanding information is actually requested from the client simultaneously, and no deal gets sent from the regional office to head office without having made sure that all the required documents are in place to ensure that we really reduce the turnaround times. So this is a report that we really share with the committee. We now also sharing the names and numbers and the location districts of the applicants as the committee instructed. But this is just a high level one that we received for this quarter, 1,105 applications. The value that was requested was 2.6 billion. We approved 477 of them within the quarter. The amount approved was 259 million. Those were rejected were 21. And the amount of the rejections was 83 million. The amount of SMEs that were supported and dispersed was 31,000. And the amount dispersed was 607 million, specifically. And the reasons for rejections we stated, under the retail financial institutions, one applicant did not have internal controls in place, which posed a risk of inability to manage CIFA funds, and they said go back and re-approve. The existing CIFA client, the other one was an existing CIFA client who was not paying us. And the loan that he owes us, there's a potential to return off. He said, no, we're not going to refinance you until you clean up the act of the old loan. And others came with an untested model, which we regarded as high risk. Another one had the same shareholding with a client who owed us money who was not paying. And we could see that this is just people changing shareholding in the company. And we rejected that. So if the same directors that didn't pay us in the other existing loan, there's no likelihood that they will pay us in the new one. First, clean up the act on the first loan. Under direct lending, the retail application, six applications were unsuccessful due to that they failed even at the point of entering the due diligence stage due to incomplete and missing information. Three were commercially not viable, and one was the purchase order application without a session. Our form of security for purchase order is getting the session agreement that the employer will pay CIFA, CIFA will take our money and give the SME their portion, because if you don't do that, they take all the money from the employer, they never come back to pay CIFA. So we insist on the session agreement in such cases. Under TREP, one bakery applicant has a default and could not provide arrangement letter from the creditor, which is one of our lending requirements. Two open air applicants could not provide required documentation, and one personal care and two textiles applicants declined to a due diligence stage because also they didn't submit all the information that was required at the time. And one retail applicant was incorrectly allocated, then we had to refer it back to the province to reallocate, and then it was reprocessed. Chair, finally, picture at year end of this month, where we're likely to end approvals, we will end at 76% at 1.7 billion against the 2.2 target because of the cash flow limitation that we have. In our direct lending on disbursements, the target is 2 billion. We will end at 2.4 billion, which is will be actually shooting the lights there because we'll be above target by having 22%. Number of SMEs, we will actually achieve 68,000 against the target of 84 because of that limitation I spoke to on the approval side, and we'll be at 81%. The number of jobs will be 97% at 102,000 against the target of 104,000 jobs. At disbursements to Black-owned enterprises will exceed there by 148%. The target of 1.4 billion disbursements will hit 2 billion there, which is the real figure because that is the money that you deploy into the real economy. Disbursements to women-owned enterprises will exceed the target there. The target is 801 million, we will end at 914 million, which exceeds above 214%. To youth-owned enterprises, we likely to end at 99%. The target is 601 million. We, looking at the pipeline, we anticipate that we'll get 593, but we may reach that target to push that 1% gap. Disbursements to people with disabilities, they will end at 8%, as explained before, Chairperson. And disbursements to township enterprises, we will exceed the target there of 500 million because we will be at 579 million, which actually take us to 116% of our performance. For rural-based enterprises, the target of 801 million will exceed it because we're likely to end at 181 million, which will be at 104% of our performance. These are numbers, Chairperson and members, that are based on deals that are being processed in quarter four. And as we know, they have been approved. Others are going towards the stage of approval. So these are not some stock numbers. These are numbers that are based on those facts. So that brings me to the end, and apologies for the technological glitch that accompanied my presentation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll now invite Sida.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the Minister, the Deputy Minister, the Chair of the Board. I would take you through the CEDA presentation. King, if I may be able to load. King, if you would please enable me. Chair, I'm still not able to share the document.
Yes, Chairman, my battery was running low. There you are. Mr. Mbatha, you can continue.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's good now. Are you able to see the document?
Not yet.
Right, we can switch.
Okay, thank you very much. Chair, thank you for giving us the time to come and present to the committee. I'll be presenting the CEDA report for the quarter that ended in December, which is quarter three. I am also noting the time, but I will definitely, because you said you need to finish by 12, I will try to move as quickly as possible on my side, but also covering all the information. So we'll cover the performance overview in terms of our outline. We'll cover the performance information, the HR report, financial report, governance, marketing, and I won't get much into the key projects. I will just put them so that the committee members can be able to read. So I will start from a CEDA side. We had 19 indicators that we were tracking in quarter three. We're able to achieve 17 of those indicators, or we're able to achieve 100% and more on 17 indicators, and with two indicators out of the 19 that we're not able to achieve. That brings a performance for the quarter of 89% of our targets from a CEDA point of view. So that's what we're able to achieve, which is 89%. There were two indicators that we're not able to achieve. One of them is the new incubation centers that need to be established. We had delays on this one, but we have since done amends, so we are able to achieve all the numbers by quarter four. But I'll get into the details of it when I deal with the performance under each indicator. And then we also had the technology transfer this program, which we're also not able to achieve. This one is mainly due to financial constraints that we're experiencing. Hence, we're not able to achieve that. But I'll go into details in terms of where we are as this quarter or as now, and then we'll move from there. Chair, this is just performance overview at high level. This is our dashboard summary of what we've been able to achieve. Based on this dashboard, where we group our services together, you will note that most of them are green, just the exception of the two, which is your incubation and to those transfer system program, which we're not able to achieve, but we were able to achieve on the right-hand side under the SMEs that went through our incubation program, which is the cumulative indicator. We had about 1,912 SMEs in our incubation program or in our incubators in the third quarter. We also under productivity improvement. This is where we help SMEs with efficiencies. So we had a target of 500. We ended up at 1,013. This is a target of 500 SMEs. Quality improvement again. It's where we assist SMEs with everything to improve quality. Now of the products that they supply into the market, again we're able to achieve that, overachieve that, and we're sitting at 1,227, where we're making sure that the quality that is being produced, be it in food, be it in any other product, we assist the SMEs to improve that in terms of quality. Priority sectors, these are the SMEs that we plan to hand out from a growth point of view. They have a high growth potential. We work with these clients and we make sure that then they are able to deal with all the teething problems that comes with growing entities, and they were able to achieve at that target. We will be working with these SMEs over a period of maybe 3 years to make sure that we create sustainable businesses with these SMEs, so that then they then can create more jobs in the near future. We have it in another target for it, which I'll also go through in more detail. And our training and mentorship coaching, we're able to achieve 7,429. This is the number of SMEs that we're able to take through our training, mentorship, and coaching, either in physically through physical work or online coaching services and modules that we have as an entity. Entrepreneurship awareness, I won't talk much, that we're always able to cover. And also our work, our business development support work with township and rural sitting at 5,473 in terms of the township and rural businesses that we're able to reach to be helping them with things like marketing their businesses or basic application assistance for apply for finance and so forth. Those are the number of coaching and mentorship numbers that we're able to achieve. On the seat access points, we had missed this in quarter two, but we're able to achieve this number of target of 20. So we are implementing that project on access points and making sure that we're available in rural and township areas. And together with the CIFA, we will be availing our services through these access points. But I will talk more again in under details in terms of year to date and what we've been able to do. Because we're behind this target for the first two quarters, we're not able to achieve it, but we're able to achieve it in quarter numbers for quarter three, by which means we still have numbers to achieve in quarter four to cover everything. But I'll take the committee through what we've been able to achieve so far into the annual target, now not the quarterly target, and the rest is access to local and international market, which also part of the things that they've also referred to in terms of us being able to submit invoices for the clients that we took to these markets. We're doing a final, I think there was a final visit that is being done by the clients now, and then we'll be able to reconcile and be able to make sure that the target is met and that we're able to claim for that work, because we claim for that work after the visit taking place. Under the jobs and sustained to 4,219 jobs sustained and created. In terms of our profile clients, it is 95% SMEs and 5% cooperatives. The clients that we're able to achieve, and 87 of those black owned businesses, followed by 10% colored owned businesses. Then 2% white-owned businesses that we're able to assist in this quarter. On our spending, we're able to spend 99% of our budget, sitting at 234 million, rounding it up, that we are able to spend, which is 99% of our budget. So our performance compared to the same time, same third quarter in previous year, last year, same time we were at 69% of the performance. This current year, same time, we've improved our performance to 89% of the performance. So, which is good. We had to work very hard since it was December. December is a short month to make sure that we get all our stats and our benches work very hard to be able to improve the performance, because last year we were not happy with sitting at 69% at the same time. And we were given a lot of reasons that December is a short month. But this year we made sure that then there's proper to ensure that we get to there's some feedback change. We get to 89% in terms of performance. Chairperson, I am getting some feedback. Thank you, Chair. If I may continue, Chair, the next slide just talks to the performance information in details and in terms of where we are year-to-date achievements, and also where we are in terms of the quarter three, and on the right hand side is where we are year-to-date achievement. I would mainly focus on the ones that we're not able to achieve, but I'll touch base on the ones that we're able to achieve. The SME entrepreneurship awareness sessions, we targeted 20,000 for the year, year-to-date target was 13,000, and sitting at 7,000. So that even for the whole financial year, end of March, we've been able to achieve, but we are still doing more work in terms of that. In terms of the township enrolled businesses, with a target of 16,000 for the year, and 3,000 per the quarter. But if you look at that 16,000, we're supposed to have done 11,000 by end of quarter three, but we're sitting at 15,000, which means we'll also be able to achieve this target for the end of the year. On the number of centers, incubation centers established, new ones, sitting by the end of the, we had 11 annual target, we're supposed to at least do 4 in the last quarter. But you notice that another target says that we're supposed to be sitting with 7 by end of the third quarter, and we're sitting at 0. This is the work where we had a lot of changes in terms of our policies and how we wanted to do and as a new strategy. So we had to take the policies through the processes. But I'm happy to say that we have adjudicated now already in January, and we've approved all these incubators. So the target will then be met by end of the financial year, because the approvals are in place for these incubators already. So we've worked around and we've approved. So we should be clear even for the 11 annual target that we have here, because we've approved everything that we've approved for the year. So quarter four results will reflect that. The number of student access points, we targeted 18 new access points to be done in terms of the access point model, where we appoint qualified SP to be our extension model. So that we are clear where we are. We're in the process of branding some that we've approved already, but others that we've just approved now, we're training we are retraining the SPs on our products and services, including those of CIFAs, because CIFA is with us on this access point, so that wherever the clients go, they will find that they can be assisted on both CIFA and CEDA services. We had 20 in this quarter, we had 80 for the year, 20 quarter three. We achieved 20 for quarter three, which is zero variance. But for the year to date, we're supposed to have done 60, and we're sitting at 24. That was end of December. But I am glad to say that out of these 80, to date, because of the approved points, I can say that we've approved about out of the 8, about 70 already the catch-up plan. We're just finalizing the last 10. That's the work that we've been doing since January, where we've been adjudicating the SPs. So we should be able then to meet this target. So the team is just finalizing adjudicating on the last 10. for us to meet the 80 by end of the financial year. So we did quite a lot of work between January and February in terms of this, because the adverts were out last year, so the team was just adjudicating and concluding on this work. So we've got a good catch-up plan. We should be able to get to the number 80. But as it stands, we are at 70 instead of the 24 that we're in as end of the third quarter. The ecosystem plan is on point. We are working very hard as an ecosystem enabler, as CEDA, where we're developing different value chains for the various ecosystem partners. There's a team consisting of CIFA, CEDA, the department as well, but CEDA is leading on this work, where we make sure that then we see value for the SMMEs in the whole ecosystem, in the municipalities. This is in line with also the DDM to make sure that there's no duplication of services for the SMEs, but we all work together to make sure that there's opportunities created for the SMEs in various districts according to the economy of each and every district. And we lift those things up, and we're going to be starting now engagements with the various municipalities so that the very propositions and everything are done, and also bring the private sector into it. On the SMEs and cooperatives linked to local markets, we were able to achieve that. I will not touch much, but this includes our pop-up markets that we have, where we take SMEs, we pay for them to go showcase their products that they're able to sell in various malls. The ESD and supply development work that we do with the various partners in the private sector are able to take our clients' products and expose these clients so that they're able to sell, or they become part of the part of the ESD, and they're able then to supply the different private sector partners that we have. So that mandate is what we do, and we do the most. And this is all in us trying to make sure that the SMEs that are out there are able to sell the products that they have. So we arrange for them if it's a more, it's a pop-up market that they have their stands there, and we pay for it, and they're able to make sales, but also meet the right people. It's similar thing with the international markets, where we pay for some SMEs to go and showcase their product in different shows, trade shows abroad, and also a lot of webinars that we do to arrange for them to be able to attend, even if it's not physical, but they're able to attend and present their product. I've spoken about the entities affected through incubation. Chair, if you allow me, let me just on this page leave the ones that we've been able to achieve. Deal with the one, the technology transfer assist program. We're meant to approve 70 clients this year under this program, where we give the clients equipment up to the value of 1.2 million rand. But we're only able to achieve year to date about 32 of these clients, and we're supposed to do 70 by the year end. However, due to budgetary constraints, we'll only be able to do the 32, given the applications that we have and the rent value that they came in. This is what I would touch on, Chair, but the rest is what we've been able to achieve as well in the court, which is the jobs and the structures created and enterprise to turn over. So if you permit me, Chair, I'll skip it and move on to the other numbers. This is more program three, which is admin. The others were not due yet by third quarter. They will be due now in the fourth quarter. But staff satisfaction was at 60%. We were able to achieve 51% by the third quarter, which is an improvement from last year. And obviously, under the difficult conditions the uncertainty around the merger, the CEO has talked about it, CEO of CIFA. I won't repeat it, but we are working very hard to make sure that we try to keep the employees happy until we over that line. And the staff and the percentage of customer satisfaction were able to achieve that. On the vacancy rate, we're sitting under the 10%. Our vacancy rate is 7.6%. But given the staff turnover, it means that our HR partners within the organization are working very hard to fill in the vacancies on a daily basis. This is more summary on the HR covering all provinces to say where the vacancy rates are, and we try to keep it below the 10% and to achieve more, especially in our provincial network, work hard to make sure that we've got people working in our provincial network. But obviously, we do have these impacts on quality of the services as the employees continue to leave the organization, or the ones that we hire, they don't stay for long because they get permanent positions somewhere else, and we have to keep on retraining the new ones. So it compromises the quality, but it's a journey that we said we are working, and we will work on that until the manager is finalized in terms of that stability and being able to offer long-term or permanent employment. As an organization, the structure has 713 vacancies, main positions, but the staff, full staff complement was 659 as at the end of December 2022, as 759 employees, which gives you that 7.6% staff rate. Chair, apologies for that. On the financial report, this just talks to the budget that we had. FIDA was allocated for 947 million rand for us to run all the services that we run. We're still of the view that the funding is not sufficient given our mandate. We have a very big mandate, but there is work around that. Especially, as I always say, given COVID, we haven't really had an increase in the budget. If you look at it, it has stayed around the same amounts. This one at 943 also included the flood relief, 947, the flood relief money that we got to be able to deal with that matter. But COVID and then the looting, then the floods, now the electricity problem that we have in the country has re-necessitated the growing need for us to assist to assist the SMEs and cooperatives to keep their businesses working, try to find different ways of getting their business to work and introducing new products and all those things. So there's a need for that in the market, but also to just help them to be very agile during these times. And we need a lot of programs for us to be able to do that. So there is a need for more or for additional funding. In terms of the core versus support, we are spending 91% of our budget on the core as well. And this is just shows the breakdown that we had a budget in quarter three of 237.5 million. We're able to spend 233.8 million, leaving us with just a small variance of 1.56%, which is about 3.7 million. That was not spent, but we'll be able to spend it as we're prioritizing it. But we are very tightly monitoring our budget and making sure that we're able to spend all the funds that we have. On the issue of the invoices, we're able to pay 99.9% of our invoices within 30 days. And this chair talks to the invoices that we put through our branches. And this 99.9% represent 3,604 invoices that CEDA has been able to pay within 30 days in this quarter. And we only missed about two invoices that we're not able to pay of the 3,604 that we processed in this quarter that we're not able to pay. It's a big volume, but we push that we do make the payments, because our activities are small activities. You know, we have service providers doing an intervention for client, 36,000. I'm making, for example, 36,000 rand. So we push quite a lot of volumes. We spend the 233 million rand. We really do pay quite a lot of invoices for us to be able to do that. But we do push the team to be able to do that. This is just a split in terms of how we expenditure is like in the from a provincial point of view and the national office point of view. And we've made some headways as far as some of the AG findings, especially we had an issue with the performance information system in terms of how we store that and how the data is accessible, especially when the auditors come here. We are implementing systems the intention is that the 2023-24, which is the new financial year, we're starting 2 weeks. When it ends, we shouldn't have these findings, because the audit findings needed us to develop and implement systems. We have at least one system done. We do have training and the staff members started using, but we only did that at the end of the third quarter. So and we have another system that we are busy with, of CRM, so the catch-up data catch-up system. We will finalize that one in May, and including training. So which will mean then that we'll have a better accessibility of data and availability of data come end of the 2023-24 financial year. I'm not saying we're doing all our work to make sure that from how we keep the data now, the auditors will still find joy. We may have some few problems in the current year's audit, but it's a work in progress. Systems take long to develop and implement, but we are solving that problem. So if we do have some challenges, it will be because our systems are only getting to be completed now, and they will be used fully in the new financial year. Chair, on the compliance, we're able to have all the board meetings and the board subcommittee meetings for the quarter. On the and this just talks to that governance and compliance. Chair, on the, so I won't go into details, but these are the all these documents and approvals were achieved through the various board and subcommittees. On the marketing, we're able to do a lot of work around our marketing and communication, including the pop-up markets that we're able to do, and all the support that we've been doing. So I won't go much details on the key project, but if it's okay through you and the members, may I end here and allow for questions. Thank you, Chair, very much.
Hello.
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes. Can we go back to our agenda? It's deliberation according to the agenda.
Yes.
And can I invite hands at this stage? You would assist me, Keith, to identify hands.
Yes, so far there's a hand of Honorable Lubengo.
Okay.
Honorable Jividas.
Yes.
Those two so far, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Lubengo.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions goes to the department. On the 2022-2023 quarter 3 economic classification under goods and services. On the issue of computer services, Chairperson, the department indicated that a payment to Microsoft had been reversed. Has been reversed, and to be paid in dollars. So, Chairperson, I wanted to get the roots of these reversals. The cause. I wanted to get the root of the cause of the reversal, and this they indicated about. They says they reversed and to be paid the payment reversed and to be paid in dollars, which they did not, which was not paid by this. Dollars. So I just wanted to get clarity on this. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable De Villiers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, and good morning to the other honourable members. Chairperson, it is a difficult report, many disappointments, and the one that I specifically would like to ask about is the performance by CIFA to only achieve, you know, 37% of their targets for lending out. And as we all know, one of the biggest challenges for small business is access to finance. And CIFA is one of the best ways to get access to lower interest rate finance. CIFA has better and more favorable rates than most other lenders. So it is an incredibly important tool in order to overcome one of the biggest challenges for small business, which is access to finance. And it is really tragic when CIFA sits with the money, which it clearly does, has a target and just doesn't achieve that target. And I would like more clarity on that. Why would that be? Is it a failure of the market to take up the product, which raises questions of, is it a failure of CIFA to adequately advertise these services? Is it that we are getting a lot of applications and a corresponding lot of declines? Is it tough to get access to the finance? I'd like some clarity on what CIFA are going to do to improve this number, because clearly there's a need for finance and CIFA's got the funds and they've got the favorable rates, but it is a tragedy that small businesses are not utilizing it. And I'd like some clarity on that, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Civilians. I think you have covered most of us on this one, because indeed, if they're being not funded, nothing will happen on the ground. They will simply die. So we're crying of red tapes. I believe those reasons will assist us maybe to touch other sectors to assist our small business. Do we have any other hands, Brakin?
Not yet, Chair. There were only those two so far.
Okay. DG, although there are those questions that relate to our agencies, I think you, as the head of the institution, you will also zoom in and promise us something on how best are we going to, because our greatest challenge was load shedding, where I believe we're being taken to court to be able to assist the small businesses to be exempted from certain requirements. So, but on this one of underperformance, more especially on the issue of finances, I think is a problem. Can we get a sense of what is happening, a response to those two questions? If there are no any other questions, but we really request your good self to speed up the process. I heard even the Operation Badala. I would like to hear more about it. How best are we going to do that to be able to make sure that also funds are coming back to the sector, because it should rotate. Once I'm assisted, another one must also be assisted next time. Over to you,
Chair.
Yes.
Sorry, I think Honorable Jacob is just raised his hand, so maybe it will be proper that he comments,
yeah,
and so that the DG can respond to all the comments. Thank you, Chair. Sorry for that.
Okay. Honorable Jacobs, over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and greetings to all the honourable members and the executive and also guests in the platform. Chair, I think we must accept the Minister's introductory remarks that she's herself not happy with the overall performance of the department. I think we must also express our disappointment in the non-delivery of many of the performance indicators. This is the third quarter, and whilst we see a lot of the money being spent, a lot of the delivery targets are not spent. So I think we are not happy, and I think we hear the reasons. I think the DG and the CEOs have gone at length to explain the rationale. But, you know, I think given this portfolio, given where we come from post-COVID, given all the variables, we expected improved performance. We expected management and leadership to not come and make excuses, but actually provide solutions to the challenges. You know, we want to create a culture where our community and our people are entrepreneurial. And we want to move our communities away from handouts to hand-ups. And so that culture must come from this department. It must lead. So I think the big issue is, does this department have the capacity to lead technically, administratively, to drive these key things? I think this portfolio for this whole administration, the sixth administration, we've gone and explained, and every quarter we've said, same problems. You're not meeting your targets on the historically disadvantaged communities. We're not meeting our targets on disabled, on women. So I want to start with a range of questions. I think that is more geared up to, and also the capacity, the issues of the staffing is well known, issue of HR, the issues of coming together. But does this department have what it takes to do the work that we need to do? If we, our flagship program is the township and rural program, do we have an organizational presence and capacity in all the townships across our country and rural dorpies that can ensure that those that are historically marginalized also get those opportunities? And I think we need to get a zoom in. We like the innovation coming through with tracking and tracing and ensuring that the loan book, there's accountability. We appreciate that. Let me go into specific questions, Chair. So I think for me, the first thing, the department should provide more information on the ownership, the profile and products of SMEs, names of cooperatives that were linked to the mainland more, and what has been the impact and the challenges of these products and service with a new retailer. So that is innovation. When we see Home Affairs goes into malls, I'm glad that now even small business is also going to where people are. I'd like to hear more about that. More details on the performance of the township and rural enterprises. We need to, as this committee, have a better understanding of the achievements. The department could be providing the following information. Each category of who was assisted non-financially or both, what type of financial support was provided, what was the average amount of disbursed to each of the enterprises, geographical breakdown. We got now a provincial breakdown, but it would be useful to see in Gauteng what areas. Is it mainly in Joburg, Tshwane, or is it in the other parts, or a breakdown regional and rural allocation? Demographic breakdown, also we need to have specifics, more specifics on that. On the automation and the simplification of the loan application, we need to ensure that no one is left behind. I hear the CIFA CEO explained the rationale for rejections, and it does make sense. But is it automated, and does it come clearly through? So maybe just more explanation on that. Could the department please provide information on the achievement of its 11,700 74 competitive SMME and cooperative support that is that has the report. Where is this? How is it? Is that just a figure? Can we provide information, more information around that? Now the targets, I think the vacancies, the CEO spoke about the vacancies that's not being filled. Are we having a plan to deal with it? A very deliberate plan. Should we, as this department or portfolio, get a maybe monthly update on vacancies and capacity building in the department? Because this is a perennial problem that's coming. The five municipalities that was not assisted for red tape reduction, where and why was that not done? The SMME is linked to global markets. Could the department provide examples of the impact of this and the bottom line to these enterprises? What is a better understanding and breakdown for the cooperative links to these global markets? We didn't meet that target. I think on the out of the 32 enterprises, how many of them are cooperatives? And also, could the department explain and inform the plans that link the 100 enterprises to global markets? There was a lack of suitable global events to link SMMEs and cooperatives. So I think we're out of COVID now. There's been a lot of activities. Why has this taken place? Okay, let me leave it for there for now. But I think with those, we adopt this report. But I think it's very clear that we as a committee must express the lack of improvement and the lack of meeting all the targets. It is worrying some for us, and we need a stronger, serious management plan to ensure going forward these improvements are made. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Jacobs. Do we have any other hands?
Yes, Chair, Honorable April.
Honorable April, the stage is yours.
Thank you, Chairperson, for giving me the stage. Good morning, honorable members. My input will not be very long, but let me firstly welcome the presentation. The honesty that is displayed in the presentation is something that I really admire. However, I want to join the political oversight head, which is the minister, in the disappointment that she has expressed with regards to the performance of the department. Chairperson, let me start by asking on program one, which is administration, there's an underspending of 2.5 million, or let's say 9% of the program's budget, mainly due to vacancies amounting to 2.6 million, as well as 97,000 underspending on machinery and equipment, while goods and services overspent by 203,000 due to higher payments for communication and travel. That is a big problem, because when you look at the overspend of 203,000 on communications and travel, I get worried. On program two, which is sector market and development, there was an overspending of 17.2 million, representing 119.2%. Expenditure was more than double the budget, due to overspending of 19.7 million in transfers and subsidies, because claims that were projected for the second quarter and the fourth quarter of 22-23 financial year were processed in the third quarter only. Underspending of 2 million on goods and services, that was mainly due to payments to Microsoft that had to be reserved and paid in dollars for computer services rendered, and an underspending on travel and subsistence due to outstanding claims from CEDA and SMME exposed to global market projects. Program three, development finance, the budget was exceeded by 27 million, or 7% rather, mainly due to misalignment in the cash flow on transfers and subsidies amounting to 25.8 million. The department reports that this was caused by the following things. A transfer amounting to 28 million that was made under, give me a second there. that was made under blended finance programs, program three, which the cash flow was on program four under the discontinued gazelles program. I've got a litany of these questions, which I think I would want to rather send to the department and get some responses in writing. The main thing is we can lament all that we want. I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. A lot has been done, and we understand that the economic climate globally has had an impact on us and all of the other factors that has displayed itself in our economy is things that we should consider. But I must say that we can do more, and we should actually do a whole lot more to give better services to our people. We cannot have monies that is returned and monies that is overspent on non-essential things such as travel and phones and so on, when we've got people struggling, begging and crying to be assisted with finance to make their businesses work. With that, I want to say thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable April. Do we have any other hands, Braking?
No, Chairperson.
I will now invite the DG to take us through with his team, with your team, DG.
Thanks, Chair. Let me first allow the colleagues to start. Then the CFO can proceed, and then CEO Sida can talk to, especially the question on the presence in the township, and talk to the program that we are doing at the access points that we are establishing, and then CFO CEO will also come through. Chair, maybe in that order, and then I'll come after all. Then we have colleagues here also, VJ is here on the platform to talk on the red tape, and then Jeff can talk to the businesses that are linked in the international market. If colleagues can proceed, CFO.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. In terms of the Microsoft payment, that was, we paid the invoice as per the norm, but Microsoft then changed their processes and says because we ordinarily paid in rents, that is South African rents, the money was required to be transferred to their overseas account. So they refunded us what we had paid so that we could pay the equivalent of the payment in dollars, so it could go through your using your SWIFT codes and the Reserve Bank. That was the only thing. So it affected our cash flow. And talking to the overspend that Honorable April is referencing, we have not overspent the budget. The issues that are being reported on here is that we as a department compile what we call a cash flow projection. We anticipate what we think we are going to spend on based on the plan, the procurement plan, the order that we've issued. And would believe that the committee would appreciate that plans don't always work out as planned. If an invoice that you anticipate to pay in quarter two, on which you draw down money from National Treasury, because we don't receive all our allocation at the beginning of the financial year, we draw down monthly. So for the 3 months, October, November, December, we had a plan that would have assisted us. In the same way that when we reported in quarter one and quarter two, not all payments that we had drawn down money on went through because of various reasons. So the same applied in quarter three. Quarter three is further exacerbated by the fact that it coincides with the process called adjusted estimate of national expenditure. So up until the Minister of Finance has presented and the President has signed off, we are unable to align or misalign any cash flow projections, and those are normally just approved in January by National Treasury. So the misalignments will always occur, and we try our level best to adjust mid-quarter, But at times, it's not always possible to align the cash flow. So it's not overspending on budget. It's overspending or underperforming performance on the cash flow that we have in our bank account. We're not running an overdraft. It is money that we have that we process, because it would not help for us to receive a claim that we had anticipated to receive in April in the third quarter and sit on it to say, but the money that we had planned to pay for this claim in the fourth quarter, we'd rather release the money into the economy so it helps alleviate the challenges when we immediately when we receive the claims for the various programs that we receive. And that's the rationale that we play around with the cash that we have in the bank, and we never exceed that. Otherwise, Treasury would have flagged it. I hope it answers the questions, Chairperson. Kia leboha.
Thank you.
As you all see that, you can proceed.
In that order. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. I think there's probably one issue that I will touch on, or two issues. One is the issue of the vacancies maybe let me put it differently. It is quite a challenge, but we are still within that 10% target from a CETA point of view. So as much as we do have employees that leave the organization, but we have said that we will just work hard in making sure that we do replace those employees, and we do also offer training to the employees in terms of their upskilling and so forth. It's just the issue of, you know, the institutional memory that is just a challenge, that you do have people living all the time. In terms of replacing and finding employees, we are working around the clock in terms of that, and we are able to replace. It may not be of the same quality in terms of attracting the employees or candidates from the market because of the short term, but we are able to replace, and hence we are able to then try and drive the performance. With all those challenges, we are still pushing the performance, and currently, as I had indicated earlier, sitting at 89% of our targets, and we've been around 70-something percent as well in the past quarter, so we are soldiering on with in the midst of those challenges. The issue of the access points, yes, we are moving towards making sure that we have a fair representation to ourselves together with CIFA, so that then we ensure a seamless availability of our services across the board, so that clients even in the rural and township are able to find us as both being represented. Thank you, DJ. I think I've covered what you said I must cover.
DJ, are you done?
No, okay. I think there was a specific question that was asked for CIFA in particular, so the CEO can assist with that response.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DJ. Quickly, Chair, the issue of the 37% approval in quarter three, I did indicate, Chair, and honorable members in my presentation, that when you are in this space of lending, you must make sure that the money that goes out is not more than the money that comes in. When our collection rate, in particular, in under direct lending, dropped from 75 down to 35%, we had no option but to slow down approvals in the direct lending space, and we increased the approvals in TRAP, because you saw that there were higher disbursements under TRAP. And because the money that was there was mainly trap ring fence for TRAP. We can't use money for bigger deals of above 1 million. And as a result, we saw that decline in approvals until we find a balance. So there are certain things that we can't do here.
you can't foreclose a client because they are behind on the payments, because you are going to end up writing off that that money. For example, the client was building accommodation for doctors and nurses, which we lended him 14 million. There was delays in on the construction work that was done because of rain and other factors that the client faced. And now they were behind by 5 months in the payments. There are two options. You close that deal, repossess that building that is incomplete. Then you have to go and find somebody to complete the building at an additional cost. The best option is allow this guy to finish the building so that he can start having tenants in that building and the money is paid back. So you will need to find that balancing act. There was less collections and therefore the cash flows were quite strained for our direct lending business. And direct lending business, Chair and members, are those loans that are above a million. Those are the loans that drive our numbers in terms of values. But TREP is all those more loans from 150,000, 300,000, 700,000, if you're lucky. There are many. The one given month, we got about 2,000 applications under TREP. But it's high volumes with less amounts. Then you see that in the volumes, that in the values that you approve. We approve many, but small loans. So until the companies are able to operate at least a minimum of 8.5 hours without load shedding, they will be able to produce at least at 100% and be able to generate revenues enough for them to service their loans, which will then see our collections increasing from 35% to at least in your 70s and 80s. So that is the rationale behind that. Well, the moment you start lending more than what you have, that is reckless trading. And we cannot allow ourselves actually to be caught up in that situation. So that's the rationale behind that. But we hopefully actually looking at the money that we managed to collect under Operation Badala, we're hoping that at least we'll be in the 70s to 80s by the end of the financial year. But it is the effect of the economy. We can't trade recklessly. We need to actually lend what we have. The chair, Operation Badala, what we've done is even that one, chair, is another balancing act. Like this client I'm mentioning where he's building accommodation for doctors and nurses. You want to chase him, but you chase him within reason so that you don't destroy the deal to a point that you lose money. It may be delayed collection, but in the end, we'll get the money back as soon as that construction work is done and that client has got tenants in the building who are paying rent. So we even, Badala, we're not blindly what we call nailing people. We look at the circumstances of each client and you say, we'll give you a grace period up until you address the following issues, and then we expect you to pay us. Then there are those who just never paid a cent from day one, you know, and those are the ones that we said, no, we're not going to be negotiating with you. We are going to deal with you decisively. And we've taken those to court. We've had judgments. And after 4 years, the person crops out of the wood and then he wants to negotiate. And then we say, okay, let's talk about the money that you owe us for the past 4 years before you start negotiating. Because we can see in your lifestyle in the credit bureau that you are living large. Therefore, you are just being silly by not paying us. So those are the guys that we're targeting in the main who just decide that it's government money, I won't pay it, but I'll continue living large. Those are the top targets that we're behind actually facing right now, Chair and honorable members. So Operation Badala is proceeding, but you put the accelerator and sometimes you have to lift it a bit when you see that the pressure is on, because we have to understand. If you can see that the client is struggling with trading because of this load shedding, then we can't be recklessly actually chasing them and killing them. Then we said one of the things we want to do as CIFA is to start providing these alternative backup power sources so that they are able, at least during that load shedding period, to operate and continue with producing, rather producing. So one of the interventions, other than just collections, is say, let's help our clients to operate 8.5 hours a day by providing this backup power, what we call technologies. I think the CIFA CEO has spoken to the issue of our presence in different areas. And we are using those seed access points as CIFA, because it's cheaper for government, it's much more efficient,
because we're beginning to see now some applications coming out of those access points with at least some level of completion. And we are going to actually use the CEDA access points to our advantage. And we want to also train the people who are running those access points to understand the lending criteria of CEDA, rather, particularly for trap clients, because these bigger clients, they are able actually to get what we call these business plans and application forms complete. Our main struggle is with the trap clients. And these are the clients that we're saying we're going to work with CEDA through the access points to improve the quality of the applications. And we're beginning to see a flow already of some of the applications that we're dealing with. And also, we are busy negotiating at an advanced stage with some of the players in the industry who are into the lending space of small loans. The likes of your Lulaland, African Bank, Yoko and whatnot, who are busy negotiating with them, say, listen, can we partner with you to finance all these clients who are in good standing? You know, our approach, Chair, I like using the example of someone going to buy milk in a garage. When you go to buy milk in the garage, you don't want to chew behind the guy who's there to play lotto. You want to buy milk and get out. So we're saying all the clients who are in good standing without any problems, we're going to fund them through these partnerships. And all those ones who are struggling with their financial records, their tax and everything, we'll service them through CIFA so that we walk the journey with them. But what we do, we are reducing the congestion where the good clients must just be funded immediately. And the ones who still have tax matters to resolve, they must come to us and then we walk the journey with them. Those are some of the interventions here that we think we are actually going to be putting in place in the new financial year. The issue of capacity is a big issue for us because with us, Chair, it's a question of skills. It's not just a warm body. You need somebody who understands the lending business. Even if you're a lawyer, if you're not involved in deal structuring, you still have to learn how to do that. Hence, the standard banks of this world are poaching our people, the legal people, left, right, and center, because we've trained these people so well. So we're saying they're working with the department that would like to continue with the 24-month contract until we get to the stage of the merger, even though it is not the best option. But under these circumstances, that's the only way you can deal with it until the merger is done. Hopefully, we would like to have a situation where we had people getting contracts for longer terms than 24 months, because also, Chair, there's nobody going to leave a five-year contract in their current job to go for a 24-month contract or leave a permanent job and go for a 24-month contract. Those are the balancing acts that we're doing, and we'll continue to trying to navigate that environment until we get to the merger. Thank you, Chair. I think I've covered all those ones that related to me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, here we are. They are requesting us to adopt their recommendations with those plans which they are trying to plan that they are going to push more harder during the fourth quarter. Our humble request is that we need to try to speed up the process. We understand all the difficulties, most especially issues on the load shedding, etc. But what we would like to see is to make sure that all promises which are being made are being followed properly by your good selves. So I would request anyone to move for the adoption of the recommendations by the department as well as our agencies. King, assist me, honorable members, so that we can go and catch up transport to parliament. Bra King, basa sekona na wose ba pumile.
Nakona ke. Honorable April is raising the hand.
Honorable April.
Thank you for the second bite, Chairperson. I also just wanted to register the in terms of the demographics that the presentations has given, specifically the 1% of Indians that has benefited from the programs of CIFA, it is really, it is shameful and it's disheartening. Looking at the 11 employees that are colored employees that is in the department, I'm worried that minorities are really excluded in terms of not only the beneficiation but also the employment in the department. And this is something that I want really to be looked at in for what it is. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable April. I think it is noted. Can I have a mover?
I move. The national mover is moving.
Thank you. Any seconder? Honorable Jacob, second.
Yes, Chair, I second.
Braking, can we go back to our agenda? I think this was the last item. Progress on the Northwest. Can you take us through 3 minutes? We are now running out of time.
Thank you, Chair. It is more on of an announcement or maybe to cater for any changes that might happen. But we are confirming that we are still in preparation with the oversight visit to the Northwest Chairperson. And then we also request members to respond on all the necessities that Mr. Dodo can bring to the attention of the members so that he can do all the things in time and then as per the request of the member. I think we still we can still say that the manner it was structured, it is still that of that we be in Nakamudiri municipality on these dates, and then day two, Ditsobotla, day three, we're in Bujanyala, day four, we are in still in Bujanyala, but in Madibeng and Moritile. So we are still also in communication with those municipalities that will be visited. So for anything, we will share as time goes by, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Brakin. Honorable members, here we are. I believe we'll respond to Dodo on logistics. Let us make sure that we respond to each and every request to make life easy for our officials as well as ourselves. I believe Braking communication has been communicated to the province already about the visit. So, but you will update us.
Yes, Chair.
Through emails, yeah.
Yes. I see the van from the Deputy Minister, Chair.
Okay, Deputy Minister. I was not aware that he's back, sorry.
She has been around, Chair. It's only the minister with them. Okay.
Oh, I was not aware.
So, okay.
Deputy Minister, can we give you 2 minutes just to wrap up so that we close? Our transports are ready now for us to Parliament.
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. My issue is not to close on the initial discussions or the presentations, but just on the oversight. I just wanted to indicate that we did receive invitation to join the portfolio committee on the oversight. We're just waiting for the details so that we can equally prepare well. Between me or the minister, one of us would be able to join on the first day in Northwest. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DM. I think they had you. That is administrative. They will do that. So other than that, let me thank all of you and wish you well. Let's see each other in the Northwest. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
Long live the Chairperson.
Recording stopped.